Okay, welcome everybody. We're gonna get going now. It's great to see everybody here. A few people are still coming in the door, but we're gonna start anyway. How you doing, Lori? Good? All right. Alter, Mirna, I hope you're well. Okay, we're gonna get going now. So, just so everybody realizes, I think for the next month or so, we're gonna be, this year we'll probably have to start about 10 minutes later, because by the time we finish Ma'ariv here in the shul, we're already past 9 o'clock. So, okay, for maybe another month or so, should be like that. Okay, we'll make it. All right, so where are we now? So the Chacham has gone through a number of professions, and he's jumped back and forth from various different things. And now, in the latest part of the story, he decides that he needs a new profession. So we just started. So he says like this. Afterwards, he pondered philosophically. Even though I have two trades, who knows what are his two trades? Goldsmith and jewel cutter. Even though I have two trades, who knows if both of them might fall out of demand? Better that I learn a trade that will always be important. He reasoned, according to his understanding in philosophy, that he should learn to be a doctor, the medical profession, which is always needed and important. Okay, he decides now he's got to become a doctor. So without looking into any commentaries, and without looking at Rav Arush, without looking at Rav Kivak, let's just say, Pashat Pshat, very simple. What's with this guy? He has two amazing jobs. He could be doing so well, and all he's doing is worrying about something that might happen. It's like not even in his purvey yet. He's worried that maybe the gem industry and the gold industry are all gonna tank, right? And it isn't even like 2023 and when he wrote this story. It was way back when, and we know the gold is still going, right? Gems are still going. He so far removed from Hashem at this point, and we're gonna see how he removes himself even more. Okay, so we mentioned last week, that what's so wrong with wanting to become a doctor? This is where he finished off last time. What's wrong with wanting to become a doctor? It's a really good idea, actually. Okay, he's a smart guy. He could make money, he could help people, it could be a really good move. So what's wrong with this? What's wrong with it is that he's never thinking and composing himself in the proper way. He's never taking the time to think. He's never taking the time to speak to Hashem. He's never taking the time to work through the issue in a holy way. Rather, he's just bouncing back and forth. If you want to see in Rav Arush on page 104, the third paragraph, he says, if his goal was making large sums of money, then he would have been better advised to enter the world of commerce. He should have become a business guy. And done well, he could make more money in business than as a doctor, if he did it well. Or if his goal was to perform compassionate acts for humanity, then he would have been happy to choose to become a doctor. But he's never stopped to think and to ask Hashem and to think about, what's my purpose here? What should I be doing with my life? How can I live my life connected to Hashem? He's never thinking about this. He's just bouncing back and forth. He sees something. He's worried now. He has fear that the goldsmith industry and the gem cutting industry are all going to tank, and now he's not going to have anything. So he sees, being a doctor looks impressive and looks chashev, looks important. That's what I'm going to do. He's just jumping all over the place and doing things for the wrong reasons without thinking. Right? So on along these lines, Rav Arush says farther on the bottom of page 104, he has this title of this section, he's investing in the right direction. So he starts off by saying, a person's main purpose is to serve and walk in the ways of Hashem, Baruch Hu, with no ulterior motives, in order to get to know Hashem, because this is the main purpose, and a person should have no other intention in his service of Hashem other than doing Hashem's will. Any individual with true self-composure, the result of serious daily self-assessment, knows that his life on earth is finite. With limited days, no one in their right mind would allow themselves the luxury of wasting time. Meaning like this. We're talking about the idea of every day taking time to think, to talk to Hashem, and to talk about, am I on the right path? What should I be doing? Where am I making good use of my time? Where am I not making good use of my time? Right? What? How can I be on the right path? Hashem, can you give me the guidance? Can you give me the knowledge? Give me the ability to just do your will. Right? And I can look back at my day and say, I see I made mistakes here. I see I've made mistakes there. I'm going to try to be better. Imagine just every day I do this. It puts me in a whole new mind frame. And I'm not going to be jumping around doing different stupid things and wasting time. As a mashal, he says, so if you're the owner of the, he says the New York Yankees, let's switch it. If you're the owner of the Toronto Blue Jays, right? Or if you're the coach or something, I don't know how much the owner has to think about this. So you got to watch the games and you got to think about it and you got to plan. You got to make sure that the team is being run in a way that they're going to be successful, right? You got to spend a lot of time on it. But if you're not the owner of the Toronto Blue Jays, what are you wasting your time for hours and hours and hours and hours? Not only watching the games, but knowing all of the, you know, these people who like know every single detail, stats throughout all of history. This is the last time that a batter hits off to that side of the field when the sun was shining and a bird was flying over. Was in 1963. Like, they know all the details to the like to the tiniest degree, right? It's not our business. It's not, what a waste of time. Okay, we you know, I always make sure to be very careful here. We all need sometimes to have a chill. We all need sometimes to have some recreation. We need something. It's okay to be interested in baseball. In fact, I'll say as a side point. I remember when in yeshiva, it was always like this, that the American rebbes in yeshiva, who were like from the previous generation, they all were so into baseball. They all knew everything about baseball, and they used to play baseball, and they sometimes used to go watch baseball. And like, the rebbes were all into baseball, right? Okay, you can have a hobby. You can do things. You need to have peace of mind, right? Okay. But If a person is not doing a cheshbon, is not thinking daily, am I fulfilling my purpose? Then I'm going to run the risk of spending hours and hours and hours on my baseball hobby, on my Netflix hobby, on my music hobby, whatever it is. The things that I can, I play music and it's important to me. But I can't waste my life nonstop always doing it. I have to make sure I'm on track. So, with that in mind, right? Where is he getting this thing to now all of a sudden become a doctor? Where is this coming from? He's set up. He's got everything. He's got a good job. He's got everything. Why is he doing this? He's not thinking for one second. Is this part of my purpose? Should I be doing this? It's crazy. So he says at the bottom of 105, Hashem is the only one we can really trust. He is both omniscient and all-powerful. When we seek his advice and guidance, we succeed. Hashem will send a person whatever he needs to do his task in life with no connection whatsoever to that person's IQ or abilities. Meaning, Hashem's going to help us. If we try and if we put our effort in and we connect to Hashem and we talk to Hashem, Hashem's going to make sure everyone in the world is going to be on their path. Right? It's just, what do we do? How do we make sure that we accept and receive what Hashem is giving us? Right? So this is the opposite of the Chacham. The Chacham doesn't think, he sees something that he's attracted to and goes. Sees another thing that he's attracted to and he goes. Right? So I want to read one more aspect of Rav Arush before we switch over to another idea about doctors, because this is a serious idea especially for our times. So look at the bottom of 106. Farther on in the story. It is customary that before learning medicine, one must learn Latin and composition and the intellectual discipline of philosophy. At least it used to be in the old days. Now you just have to learn science, right? Okay. And because of his understanding, he also learned this in a short time, a quarter year. It only took him to learn the whole language of Latin and everything that he did. This, remember, the Chacham is very, very bright. So he did this whole thing, just like he learned to be a goldsmith in a quarter year, and he learned to be a gem cutter in a quarter year. He learned Latin, composition, and philosophy all in a quarter of a year. Brilliant person. He became a great doctor and a philosopher and an intellectual versed in all the intellectual disciplines. Mamish, he's at the top, right? So let's ask, Ravarish says like this, let's ask ourselves a question. How is it possible to learn such a difficult language as Latin, let alone all the major intellectual disciplines in 3 short months? Okay, we know he's smart. He's a quick study. But come on, to learn a whole entire language, Latin, together with philosophy and all the other wisdoms, all in 3 months? How is it possible? How did he do it? So he says, this is the scary part. He says, the answer is that when the Creator desires to punish a person severely, he gives him dazzling success. Right? So first of all, let's remember, punishment is not what we think punishment is. Punishment doesn't mean that Hashem's a tyrant and he gets angry and he has to lash out. That's not what it means. It means that Hashem made the world in a certain way and he set up a system that there's free will and that we have to do our part in order to come to the fruition of our life and to fulfill our ultimate purpose. And if we don't do it right, then we're going to have to come back and do it again in a reincarnation, right? You're doing great, don't worry. So, right? So that's the system, that's the way it has to be, because there's a tremendous value. And even though we may not exactly understand it, many people think they understand it, why do we have to do it ourselves? Why do we have to have a part in our own success? Right? There's many ideas about this. Why do we have to have part in our own success? Why is it like that? There's a term in the Gemara.
You're saying even though God gives, it's like Russia the Toglo, God gives. I mean,
like this. There's a concept called Naman de Chisufa, which means the bread of shame. Meaning what? That Hashem tells us that it has to be, in order to have Olam Haba, it has to be that you earn it yourself, so that you don't feel like it's being given to you. You have to do the work yourself. You have to earn it yourself. There's something. So we know there's a concept in this world that this is a thing. It feels, there's probably a cliche that goes saying, right? That if you do it yourself, it feels much better, right? You feel more accomplished if you do something yourself. If someone just hands something to you, we look down at such people. We call them, they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They don't know what the, you know? We look down on such a thing. If you're a self-made person, right? That means something good. When you put the work in and you accomplish, it feels better. Okay, it's a real thing. But why did he have to make it that way? Why didn't he just make it that he gives it to us and it feels just as good? He could have done that also. Why? Why? Make it so that it's equally as good. See, we're all speaking. These answers are all because we already live in this world. But he could have made the world, he could have made us that we don't even have to have husband and wife or parents. We just reproduce by, you know, something grows off of our shoulder. And there's our new child, and it goes, and it doesn't need to have any connection with us, right? We don't have to have parents. We don't have to breathe oxygen. He could have made the world any way he wants. He could have made it that it feels just as good to not accomplish it yourself and get the reward. He could have made it that you don't need to fail first to get it, to learn. Yeah, he could have made the whole system different, but he didn't. He made it this way.
It's through the trials and tribulations of life that a person grows.
I agree.
Overcome obstacles.
But he didn't need to make it like that. It didn't have to be that way. Why does it have to be that way?
Tell us.
So I heard once, one time. One time I heard a very geschmack answer to this from Rabbi Bradowitz of Toronto, Rabbi Bradowitz. I asked him this question. And he said that the way we have a mitzvah to emulate Hashem, right? It's halach b'drachav, to walk in His ways, to emulate Hashem. And one thing that you see in some of the Kabbalistic writings is that the way that you develop closeness when it's only spirituality, in ruchnis, where there's no space, there's no physicality, what does it mean to be close to something? It means to be the same, to emulate, to be the same. That's how you become close to something. So we have this mitzvah to emulate Hashem, because it's when we emulate Hashem that spiritually we become close, right? So one of the aspects of Hashem that can never change is that Hashem can't be given something that he that from something else. He can't be lacking something that has to be given to him. So in order for us to emulate Hashem, it has to be that we develop the same thing. That our ultimate existence is not just given to us. It's not handed to us on a silver platter. We earn it. We make it ourselves. That way we're emulating Hashem. We're living more like Hashem. Brilliant answer, right? Very big tangent from where we're talking about over here. But something special. You hear me? You understand? It's a crazy, crazy idea, right?
But there's no chisaron in God. There's nothing lacking in God.
Exactly.
He made us with things that are lacking.
Right.
So you're saying we should be like God and that we shouldn't lack anything?
The idea is that we have to start out lacking and then build ourselves up so that that lack was not filled by someone else. We created ourselves.
We created ourselves.
Essentially. Right? It's a wild concept. So anyway, this is where he finds himself. So I don't know how we got, how do we get onto this subject? I don't know. So like this. So now he finds himself in the situation. And we said the answer is that when the Creator desires to punish a person severely, he gives him dazzling success. That means, that's how we got onto this, is that we have to have the ability to make our own choices, even if it's not good. We have to have the ability to make the wrong choice and be and go in that direction. To the extent which that the Gemara says that on the way that a person Derek Shadam Rosalilech Malikin, we gets help from heaven to go whichever way we choose to go. So he's saying over here, if a person decides to start going this way, then he's gonna be tremendously successful. So, in other words, he's pursuing and pursuing, and he's going goldsmith, and he's going to jewel cutter, and he's jumping back and forth, and now he wants to be a doctor. Hashem says, "Oh, you want to keep going? I'll help you." And you're going to finish all your med school in 1 year, or you're going to finish your medieval med school in 3 months. That's the way he wants to go. He's going to get help from heaven going that way. Right? As soon as we decide, our free will determines the way that we're going to go. Like we said before, that this concept, that our longing and our desire, the place we put our kisufim, what do we pine for? What do we long for? What do we daven for? What do we always think about? Whatever that is, that's the way our life story is going to be written. So if we constantly are longing just for, it's something that we need, but just for financial success, just to be somewhere else than where we are now, right? Just to be, to have what our neighbor has. So that's the way our story is going to start to be written. Yeah. So he's longing and desiring, just for the prestige of becoming a doctor after already having these jobs, that Hashem says, okay, that's where you're going to go. Let's go. And he gives him the power to be able to accomplish this. So he says, the clever one, this is the top of 107, by the way. The clever one had obviously severed himself from any connection with Hashem. Hashem sends a message to the clever one as follows. You think you're so smart. You think you can get along in life without me? I'll make you the smartest person on earth. Now let's see where that takes you. You'll have even more suffering and bitterness. That's what you want to be? That's the way you're going? Okay, let's see what happens. He says, by the way, it reminds me a lot, similar to the story of Paro in Mitzrayim. How he had a certain outlook and a certain view of the world and of himself as a god and of the Jewish people. And so Hashem said, oh, that's the way you want to go? Okay. So he hardened his heart over and over again. That's the way you want to do things? Okay, no one I'm gonna send you, like, I'm gonna give you backing on this journey, and no one's ever gonna forget you. You're gonna mamash be an example for the whole world, right? And that's what happened. He says, success without prayer is not success with intrinsic blessing. Since success without prayer leads to greed, arrogance, and ultimately emptiness. However, when a person acquires something through extensive prayer, he's never arrogant because he knows that without Hashem's help, he could not have succeeded. Right? This is it. If we continue, right, we said a long time ago that we know in life we always have to go through aliyahs and yeridas. Aliyahs and yeridas. right? And whenever we, if we want to get higher, we first have to go down. It always, it, this is the way it works, always. And we asked a similar question. No, why? Why can't I just go like this, right? And the answer that we saw a long time ago from Reb Nosson is that because if I would just keep going like this, there's going to be another line here that as I go up like this, my ego goes up like this. I'm going to think everything's great. It's always great. It's just me. I'm doing great. I just keep doing great. I can't fail. I'm amazing. That's what I'm going to think, right? So Hashem gives us a gift of when we get up, He says, hold on a second. Let's go down a little bit. You have to remember. You have to remember who you are. You have to remember me. Don't get an ego, right? So a person can help to mitigate the extent to which we get knocked down in those situations by always involving Hashem in these decisions. By always, every day, speaking to Hashem. And He's along the journey with me. So now, when I'm asking Hashem to help me accomplish things, to help me go up, so my ego's not going up. Because I'm always asking Hashem. I always know that it's Hashem giving me everything. Right? If I can really ascribe everything to Hashem, my ego's going to go up much less. I'm still going to fall. Still going to happen. But it's not going to be, maybe, as bad. If things are going the way they're supposed to. Right? Yeah. Someone who prays is happy even before he tastes success, since prayer gives him hope, vitality, and the confidence that there's always Hashem to whom to turn. Yeah. Amazing. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so he becomes a doctor. Everybody with me on this so far? Yeah? Okay. So he becomes a doctor. So let's speak about one other aspect about being a doctor from Rav Kivak. Which is pretty awesome. So first of all, as is Reb Kivak's Derech, I'm not going to go into it this time because it's a little complicated, but he explains how the idea of doctor and refuah contains within it, the word refuah contains within it a whole bunch of Kabbalistic secrets, just within this word that Rabbi Nachman wrote over here. And we know that the great Kabbalists have said about the stories of Rabbi Nachman that they don't really belong on the children's nursery rhyme shelf. They belong in the canon of Kabbalistic works. They're so deep and so holy and so filled with Kabbalah. Rav Kivak sometimes reveals some of those secrets. But for those of you who know, he says over here just that the hamtakas of the peirish dinim, the sweetening of the 280 judgments, with the vav hey, the lower two aspects of the name of Hashem, through the first gate of the 50th level. Is through the sweetening of the 320 dinim judgments, that through them that's what happens over here, and we come to this place of Nechama Samach Shechacha. Deep stuff. We're not going into it. I don't understand it all myself, and that's one good reason why we're not going to go into it. But the other is it's very complicated. Okay, so he says like this. Rav Kivak says like this. Ikar Ratzon Adam Lahargish Toiv. Shaharoife Yilmadoisoi, his amlus vachila diatenis. So a person wants to feel good. So what does he go to a doctor for? The doctor's gonna tell him how to be healthy, he's gonna show him how to exercise, he's gonna put him on the right diet. Kadeliois Adam Bari, so a person will be happy. Vyimsa manuchal and avshoi, bechinas shachacha. So he's gonna feel good. He's just gonna feel good to the extent where he's gonna be in a state of shachacha. Of it's from the line in Megillas Esther, which says Chamas Hamelech Shachacha, that the anger of the king settled, went down. You're just gonna be in a state where everything's good. So I'm gonna work on my health. I'm gonna do everything I can, and through that, I'm gonna be great. Everything's gonna be good. I'm not gonna have anything to worry about. Vaydezeh Eino Matira Me'ezeh Chisaron Bebrius. Misyari, he's not going to be afraid. He's not going to be afraid of anything lacking in his health. Because I have a doctor who takes care of me. So I have nothing to be afraid of. So what is he doing? He's giving himself like what we call a sweetening of the judgments. He's giving himself menucha. He's giving himself a state of total confidence and menucha. That's not true. Everything's from Hashem. We have to turn to Hashem. This is the root of all kafira, of all those who kafira means a denier of Hashem. It means someone who's not connected to Hashem, who doesn't trust Hashem, who doesn't live with Hashem. That in the place where a person should be awakening themselves to tshuva and davening at a time when they have some kind of tzar or choli, when they're sick or they're suffering, something's going on, right? That's what it's there for. That's what we should be doing. He just turns to his doctor and that's it. He just goes to the doctor. So, like we said last time, there's nothing wrong with having a doctor. There's nothing wrong with taking care of one's health. But there's such a mind frame that exists that is very common. That people get all excited and into health and, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to take these types of herbs and these types of supplements and I'm going to do this and I'm going to take care of everything because I am healthy and I'm going to outlive everybody and I'm going to, all my friends are going to get sicknesses and I'm going to be the one who's doing great. Right? Does it work that way?
No.
Doesn't work that way. You see, there can be people who appear to be, unfortunately, I've seen recently, who are healthy, good people, and they do things right, and something happens, and you know what they get, and it's terrible, and it's painful, but it's trusting in everything else except Hashem. Should you be healthy? Should you exercise? Should you eat a healthy diet? Should you eat herbs, minerals?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? What?
Vitamins.
Yeah. What?
God's stretching me.
But it has to be from a place of knowing that Hashem runs the world. And I'm Hashem, I'm doing my part. I care so much about the body that you gave me, Hashem. And I'm talking to Hashem about it. That I'm gonna respect my body. I'm gonna be healthy, because Hashem, you gave me this body in order to do your will in the world, in order so that I can be a good person. So I'm so thankful, Hashem, I'm gonna do my part to take care of it. But not that I'm ascribing all of the power to a doctor, to a health plan, to a diet plan, to exercise, because that's not how it works. And that's not the point. More importantly, that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to do our job, to be connected to Him, to think about Him, to talk to Him, and to do His will in the world. And we can't do that if we ascribe all the power to the medical industry, or to the naturopath industry, or to the whatever industry you want. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which side of the internet you're on, right? Whatever side you're on, you're giving it too much power. The power's in Hashem's hands.
I say conversely, if you just put your moon on Hashem, but you don't do the patella to take care of yourself natural, like diet,
yeah,
exercise, you're also
100%.
It's also you're going against God's will.
Yeah,
too.
Hashem wants us to do to put in our effort also, mm-hmm. And we have to do it,
yeah.
Right? So. What did I write here? Let's see. V'chein, refuas ha-nefesh, asher ikaroi eino ela yedei shmiras ha-tere shebezeh mekabal soiva de kedusha meha'aras ha-makifin sheish ma'alavushin ha-mechamim mes neshmasai. Okay. He says also now, when it comes to mental health as well. Right? The same thing, exactly. Right? That there's an aspect of Torah, and there's an aspect of emunah, that where spiritual forces can help a person to overcome psychological problems. Now, nobody get mad at me. I'm not saying that don't go to doctors but it can't be only that. And we can't lose our emunah that Hashem has power, that Hashem can heal me also. Right? I know many people and very closely who have suffered with different types of anxiety and depression, and they were medicated, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But through very, very serious efforts in Torah and in Chassidus and in working and in prayer and in connecting to Hashem, they were able to receive something from Hashem that took them out of that state.
Mm-hmm.
Please, anybody who's watching this, I'm not saying don't go to doctors and don't. Sometimes I believe that these types of medications are important and necessary. Believe me. I'm just saying, it can't only be that. We have to give the power where it's supposed to be. We have to give it to Hashem. There's spiritual forces in the world. Do we don't believe in Hashem? You don't believe Hashem can help us? That's where our belief has to be. That's where our emunah has to be. And then we'll do our part as well, of course. We always have to do our part. Yeah. Okay, it's scary stuff. I've seen, yeah, I'm sure everybody's seen, but the whole entire universe right now basically has anxiety. Right? Like the numbers of people that have deal with anxiety in for sure Canada and America is like, I've looked into the number, I don't remember what they are, but it's staggering. It's staggering the number of people who are going through it. People didn't used to have it like this, or they were, maybe a lot of it was undiagnosed also, but right? But it's very different. Okay, let's keep going. Remember guys, let's try to keep the questions to the end, if you don't mind, because we're broadcasting and recording. Okay, so Rav Kivak is going to say something very interesting now. He's going to say like this, that V'hineh Ad ata ra'inu zayin madregos b'nefilas ha'chacham. We've seen now 7 levels that the Chacham has fallen through. 7 ways that the Chacham has fallen. First was the 4 countries that he went to, and they each represented something. Remember, Warsaw was like this aspect of truth. And what was the next one? Lagorna. What was that one? Can't remember. And Spain and Switzerland, I think, were the 2, right? They all represented some kind of downfall in his character, right? And now he's had these 3 jobs that are also represent another aspect where he's stepping further and further away from Hashem. So it's the 7 steps that he's taken downward. And they correspond to what we say, Sheva Yipot Tzadik V'kam. A tzadik falls 7 times and gets up, right? This is the character of a tzadik. It's that he falls, keeps falling 7 times. And some people say, he has to fall 7 times in order to become a tzaddik. If you're a Lubavitcher, we're not talking about that exact same type of tzaddik that the Alter Rebbe says has to be born a tzaddik. Okay, it's a different of opinions by the tzaddikim. Some hold you can become such a tzaddik, some hold you have to be born such a tzaddik, whatever it is. We also use the word tzaddik just to mean a super awesome, righteous person. Right? Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. Such a person has to fall 7 times and has to get back up 7 times and keep going. It's part of the job. On the other hand, the Sofei Tevis of this term, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam, Ayin, Lamed, Kuf, and Mem are the letters of Amalek. Why? Because often Rosh Tevis and Gematrias, they don't come to make something the same. They come to show that it's either or. It's Zeh Le'umazeh. If you do it the right way, it's going to be Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam. You're going to be a tzadik. But if you don't do it, you're going to fall into the hands of Amalek. Right? And this is where the Chacham finds themselves. Shachacham Oimer. Now the Chacham, everywhere he looks, it's like this. She'eno ma'amin b'mitzvahs ma'isyos. He doesn't believe in just simple practical mitzvahs. The Chacham needs to see. Shachacham Oimer sha'kavana hi mashu mide gavoye. It has to be something very, very high. He doesn't allow himself to just be happy, to just do the things that Hashem wants me to do. Everything has to be a chachma. Everything has to be the top of the top. If I can't come and daven with all the kavanas of the Arizal, if I can't know all the Kabbalah, if I can't do everything on the highest, highest, highest level, then I'm not even doing it. That's the chacham. Right? But the tam is just doing what Hashem wants is just doing good things, simple things, and being besimcha with it. Right? Aval hatam, oymed betmimus, besimcha, ki mecha kulam tzadikim, because by Hashem, everyone is tzadikim. Umishahu ma'ol, bebris kodesh, harihu tzadik. Someone who had a bris milah when he was a baby, if you're a boy and if a girl, you didn't even need that, you're a tzadik already. Right? It says in the Zohar Kodesh, Kol Yisrael, Nikraim tzadikim al shem habris. Right? You're a holy person. You have a holy soul. And all those mitzvahs that you do connect on a deep level. It's like in Chabad Chassidus, it says that every mitzvah is like a strand of a cable, mm-hmm, that connects you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you do a simple mitzvah, this is why Chabad is going out and getting people to put on tefillin and giving ladies Shabbos candles, doing all these things. Because when you do a simple, practical mitzvah, you strengthen that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you do the opposite, and you don't do the mitzvah, or you go against it, you sever those cords. And the connection to Hashem is the only thing that keeps us going. That's what gives us success. That's what gives us happiness. That's what gives us everything. So the stronger we make that connection and that cable, but pashtus, just simple things. I'm doing a mitzvah. It's not my business what's happening in the Olam HaAtzilus. Maybe. Right? It's not my business. Just do it. Besimcha. And be happy that Hashem gave me something. Oh, that's tamimus. That's a happy person. That's a person who's getting closer and closer and closer to Hashem. But the Chacham says, no. If I don't know all the depth and I don't get the Kabbalah to it, yeah, it's not for me. So what is he doing? He's ripping one of those cords out and making himself further and farther from Hashem at every step. At every step. And the mida of a malek is to despise simplicity, despise simple mitzvahs. So this is the difference between the two over here. Okay, next step. I think we'll do one more inyan today, and we'll probably finish with this subject. But this is a great subject. So let's go on. He says, afterwards, the world began to seem petty in his eyes because of his intellect. Since he was a master craftsman and intellectual and a doctor, all the people in the world seemed like nothing to him. So he contemplated to fill his goal and take a wife. And he thought to himself, if I marry here, who will know what became of me? I will return home so that they will see what I have become. Because I was once a small lad, and now I have come to such a success. So many things here. So, says Rav Kivak over here, we've heard this a few times now. This is like one of the main definitions of the Chacham. Shezeh kol tachlisai. This is his whole entire purpose. Sheyedu ma shenasa mimenu. That people should know what he's done and what's become of him. Everyone should see everything that I did. Everyone should see how great I've become. Kikol Maisav Laman Kavod Atzmoy. Everything that he does is only for his own honor. That's why he does it. That's it. So he says, I can't get married where I am now, because if I get married here, then the people back home are never gonna know what became of me. I better go back home and you know, walk into town with an entourage and with all my greatness and then pomp and circumstance. And then people will see me. This is his first bad midah. So he says, rather, one second, just find the spot here in the Varsh. I can't find it. Hold on. So he went home. So he went and traveled home and suffered greatly along the way. Since because of his intellect, he had no one with whom to talk, and he could not find lodgings according to his taste, and he had much suffering. This is one of my favorite parts. So we're going to read, we'll do the Rav Arush for this next week, but let's see what Rav Kivak says about this. Klal gadol hu, so first of all, this is a scary point also. Klal gadol hu, kashayesh la'adam yisurin, a great principle, that when a person has suffering, when a person experiences suffering, simen sheyesh bo chachmas, it's a sign that this person has chachmas, the wrong kind of chachmas. It's a sign that the person is like the chacham of our story, has some of this in their mind, right? Meaning they can't be happy with what's going on here. They have a different idea of the way the world should be. Hashem has it wrong. I know how it should be. Right? This is what's going on. So listen to this. I have a star beside this, so it's good. V'kan, Rabbeinu Medaber, Shesibas Yesurin, Hayomachmas Sheloi Hayaloi, Imi Ledaber. Rabbi Nachman is telling us that the cause of his suffering now is that he has no one to speak to, no one to talk to. V'kumaykein, Yesh Harbe Yesurin La'anashim, Hamachubadim, Oysher, Mechabadim, Oisher, Atam al-Chacham, and Mufursam. So there's plenty of suffering to people who are very honored, or who are super wealthy, or they're a big Talmud Chacham, or they're famous, right? Ki ein matim loy lasheves bein kulam. They don't feel that it's proper that they should sit amongst, we'll say, the unwashed masses, right? Amongst the regular people. And they shouldn't be forced to get the same that everyone else gets. So this person is like boiling in his own
all right,
suffering.
But first you'll have to unlock your device.
This person is frying in their own juices, basically. Right? This person, if I feel that I'm so much higher above everybody else, so it's beneath me to sit and talk to such people. It's beneath me to eat food, to eat together with such people. And wherever I go, I look down on the people and I say, ugh, how can I be forced to listen to the conversation of these lowly people? Chas v'shalom. Right? V'derech ha'emes hu ledaber im kol echad b'saf ha'shaloi v'az tuchel yoyes im kulam. The proper way to do things is to speak to every person on, I'm adding a bit to the translation, on their level. Whoever they are, in their own language, speak to them in a way that they can hear you, and then you can speak with everybody. You can be with everybody. The more that a person lowers themselves down to speak with other people about things that are important to them, kein marviach yoiser, then the person will do better. He'll live a good life. Bli yisure hachachus, without the suffering of quote unquote wisdom. Right? Imagine being such a person. Everywhere you go, it's like, ugh, I have to talk to this type of person. How can I be forced to you know, like going on public transit, and you have to sit beside somebody and they start talking to you, right? Listen, I'm not trying to say that I'm like a super humble person or whatever, but I love talking to unique people, like outside in the world. Right, you know, I always say, you see the change in a person if you go to the shopping place, Sobeys or whatever, the grocery shopping, and you look at the person and you say their name and ask them how they're doing today. They look up with surprise and a smile. They're like, because no one says a word to them. Nobody cares. They're like a robot to everybody, right? When you speak to somebody, just talk to them and have something to offer to them. Like, life is happy. You see smiles. You see happy faces around. Instead of just a bunch of robotic existences throughout the world, right? So he's saying over here, you think you're so great, and it's beneath you to talk to those people on the subway who are a little bit unique, as long as it's safe, right? Or whatever. Or to just people who you think are not as smart as you, or they're not in the same social status as you. Right? You're going to be miserable. Everywhere you go, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be facing self-imposed suffering all the time. You're going to be frying in your own juices. Right? You want that? Is that good? Knock yourself down a few rungs, lower yourself down, and speak to a person if you have to. Maybe you're the low one. Right? Maybe other people have to lower themselves down to speak to you. Who knows? Right? But just try to speak to a person in a way that you can connect in a good way. Without ego, without levels. Just be together. It reminds me of Uman, by the way, in a few ways over here. It's like this. Two things about Uman that are coming out in this thing over here. The first one is I think I told you guys before, one of the favorite sites I ever saw. I tried to take a video of it. But you know, sometimes if you press the video button and you don't press it like again, it doesn't turn on. So I missed the video of it. But there was like a concert in Uman one of the nights, and there was like a guy, a young guy, like in normal modern clothing, and he was like dancing, but doing like, I don't know how to say these words, but like fancy modern dancing. Like, I'm not gonna pretend to do it. like very good new modern dance moves. I don't know what I sound like right now, but okay. So he's doing this, and as he's doing this, there's like a circle of people forming around him, watching him do these amazing dance moves and like, you know, flipping, doing flips and all this kind of amazing stuff, right? And all of a sudden, at the same moment, right in the same place, this old Yerushalmi chassid, like an old man with a long white beard and payas and a long coat, dances into the circle with him and holds his hand, and they start dancing together, these two people.
Wow.
Right? This like old Yerushalmi chassid is dancing with this modern breakdancing or whatever it's called nowadays guy together, and you know what? Neither of them cared who the other person's level was in any way whatsoever. Right? This is the idea that he's talking about over here. If you want to say, if you want to put yourself up and say, I'm above this person, then you're just going to be like, ugh, I'm getting out of this place. And you're going to walk away with a bad taste in your stomach, in your mouth. And what are you going to be doing? You're going to be frying in your own juices, living in your own self-imposed suffering. Or you could be like this old Yerushalmi chassid was and this young breakdancer and dance together and not care whose level is what in breakdancing or in Torah wisdom, whatever it is. And you're smiling and you're happy and you're dancing, you're besimcha, right? This is a very special aspect of being in Uman during Rosh Hashanah. The other thing is that in order to go to Uman, I was thinking about this, this goes along very well with this. In the next part. What time is it? Okay, we have a few more minutes. The next thing he says over here, I'm going to say this very, very much bekitzer without going into the words over here, but he says, Loi haya moitza achsanya keretzoinai, vayali yisruin harbe. He wasn't able to find lodgings that were agreeable to him, fitting for him, and so he was suffering greatly. So, there's different types of people in the world who require different levels of comfort based on what they're used to sometimes. Okay, sometimes you're used to a certain way of living and it's very hard for you to go out from that level of comfort, right? But then there's another type of people who when they're traveling somewhere, they are mean to the people serving them, right? They're always calling and complaining to the hotel management because things aren't exactly perfect. Or, you know, I didn't like the look on the face of the person who folded my towels today, right? Or the food wasn't like, how many times? Usually in most kosher restaurants that I go to nowadays, it's not really the type of situation where you send the food back because it's not perfect. Okay, it's maybe not, that's another story. But some people will send things back like multiple times. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect, take it back. And they'll be mad and they'll be angry. And they'll, right? Like, what are you ruining your life for? Everything has to be perfect? What are you, a king? Everything has to be exactly perfect? And if it's not exactly perfect, I can't take it? And I'm suffering and I'm angry? Right? So you could be this person who's traveling and every step of the way, that Uber driver smelled bad. That's the guy who took up my luggage. He wasn't nice to me, he didn't smile. This and that, and everywhere you go, you can pick things apart. And you're having a terrible time. And what are you going to do when you get home? You're going to tell all your friends about how, ugh, the service in this country I was at is terrible. And the people are terrible. And this is terrible. Everything's terrible. You're living a terrible life. You're living your own self-imposed suffering. Right? So this also reminds me of traveling to Uman because it's not a vacation. It's very difficult, and you know, you don't get a lot of sleep, and if you know, we're traveling to different kivrei tzaddikim, and like maybe not sleeping at all sometimes, and the lodgings are not fancy by any stretch of the means, like really not, and you have to find food, and you have to find, you know, it's not like every place has perfect air conditioning and perfect heating, and you know, we stay in a building sometimes in Uman where I'm afraid to get in the elevator, so I walk up the stairs because the elevator might break, legitimately might break at any moment. So I just don't take it and I go up the stairs instead, right? You have to be in a state of acceptance and the state of realizing that I'm here for something else. I'm not here to be treated like a king. I'm not here to have my every comfort taken care of at every moment. on the trip to Uman. But it's a great mashal. But that's not the real issue. The real issue is this is how a person has to look at their life. So Rav Kivak says, so what's the story with the tam? He says like this: Kishleimus ha'emuna, a person with complete emuna. Who? What's the perfection of emuna? Who shehiluch hamazales misnaheg kirtzoni? That all the way the whole universe works, and the way that all the constellations work and all the powers in the world go according to Hashem's will. Shemamin shekol ha'olam hu achsania. The whole world is my lodgings. Lehilu kamazalas kiratzoni yisporach, and it goes the way Hashem wants it. Kuy yisporach masader esekuchim kiratzoni. Hashem makes the stars go the way they're supposed to go, makes everything happen in the world the way it's supposed to happen. V'kol chayei adam hu bechinas achsania kol yom lefi tikunoi. Every day of my life is like my new lodgings, right? El shayadei achachmas. But if a person is walking around as a chacham, a quote unquote chacham, yish bechol yom veyom masheino kirtzoinai. Every day, something's not going the way he wants. Just like the guy who goes to the hotel and is like, you know, they fold the in fancy hotels, they fold the towels in the shape of an animal. Oh, the swan's neck was bent over, right? And they're going to call down to get it. There's always something to pick on such a person, right? So too, a person from my lodgings for today is my life today. And if I'm that person, I'm going to find something to pick on every single day. But if I have a muna and I believe that I have lodgings in this world today, on Thursday it's going to be like this, and on Friday it's going to be different. Even if the kids are going crazy, and I don't have a lodgings where I can be relaxed. Mikol makom im kol ze eich shehayom nira b'hashkacha pratis ze hachsanya shaloi b'simcha u'b'tmimus. However my day looks today, that's the lodgings that Hashem set up for me today, and that's how I should, and this is where I need to be, b'simcha u'b'tmimus. This is where Hashem set me up today. Hashem is my travel agent, and today he set me up in this hotel. Today, Monday, May 29th, right, 2023. This was my hotel today. This was my lodgings today. And however it went, I could either spend the day complaining and stewing in my own juices and subjecting myself to my own suffering, or I could say, okay, however it went today, if it didn't go so great, this is the place Hashem put me today, and take it b'simcha. Aval ha-chacham eino moitzei achsanya klal. He doesn't find, the chacham does not find a place to dwell. Any idea klal sheyesh lo yisurin, he doesn't even know that he has suffering. Rak reseach al hachesroinos shebebeis malin. He's just boiling. His blood is boiling regarding everything that's lacking in the hotel he's in today. Nothing's good enough, and he can't stand it. He can't stand it wherever he goes. So this poor guy, he's now taking the trip back home so he can show off to everybody how amazing he's become. Chisara number one, problem number one. And the whole place, the whole trip along the way, wherever he stays, he hates it. Whoever he has to speak to, he's become such a chach, he's really smart, and he knows a lot now. And but because of the way he views himself, wherever he stays, he hates every person. He can't talk to anybody, he can't be anywhere, because every place he goes, he hates it. He has something to complain about. He can't stand the people because everything is beneath him and every person is beneath him, right? So I think about this in the way of, people like to say that in our generation, there's a mida that was not nearly as strong in past generations, which is the mida of entitlement, of feeling entitled, right? And I feel like it's a very, very big chisaron. It has a side of kedusha if it's used in the right way, which maybe we'll talk about next week. But this is the way the world is right now. If everything is not exactly perfect the way I feel it should be, so I need to yell and scream, I need to complain, and I need to cancel people. I need to cancel organizations. I need to cancel this hotel chain, right? I'm going to tear you down. I'm going to sue you. You didn't do things exactly the way that I think they should be. It's not good enough. No child is happy if they don't have the, I don't know what they are now, Xbox, the, I don't know, whatever, electric scooter, electric bicycle, everything. We have to have everything. If we don't have it, it's not acceptable. My parents are the worst, and they're, right? You know, children are divorcing parents nowadays. There's a thing that they get a lawyer and they try to divorce from their parents because they don't like their parents. Maybe it's needed sometimes, I don't know. Right? But this is the way it is. And all marriages are falling apart because everybody expects that everything always has to be perfect for me. And both sides think like that all the time. And no one has the old view in their mind that I made a commitment. I'm going to make it work. And I'm going to be the giver. I'm not going to be the expecter. I'm not going to be the one who's expecting all the time. And people are just entitled. And when my needs are not fulfilled, my quote-unquote needs are not fulfilled, I'm bitter and I'm angry and I'm unhappy because nothing is good enough for me. This is the opposite of living with emunah and seeing that everything that Hashem gives me today is made for me. It's hashgacha pratis. Everything that Hashem gave me is my lodgings for today. And I have to approach them with simcha. Simcha and gratitude. So, being entitled and being thinking we're better than other people are the ingredients for sadness, for suffering, and it's the one of the worst character traits of the Chacham. Okay, so we'll hold it there because we're at 56 minutes. And next week we'll continue on this idea. We'll see how the Tam fits into this, and we'll see what Rav Arush has to say about it. Any comments or questions or